Pennsylvania, the state of my birth, is home to many wonderful things besides this podcast. If we want to get historical, the Declaration of Independence was signed at Independence Hall in Philadelphia on July 4th, 1776. And the Battle of Gettysburg, aka the turning point of the Civil War, was also fought in PA. Pennsylvania is also home to Hershey Park, a chocolate-themed amusement park, Eastern State Penitentiary, a haunted and haunting building that was once the most famous and expensive prison in the world, and the Pittsburgh Penguins. Pennsylvania is also the birthplace to some pretty well-known individuals like Taylor Swift, Kevin Bacon, Drew Barrymore, and everyone's favorite neighbor, Mr. Fred Rogers. But what's even better than Liberty Bells and wonderful sweaters? Cryptids. That's right, PA has another claim to fame. It's home to, supposedly, the most homeliest animal in the world. Apart from finding plentiful pierogies and milk chocolate bars, take a trip across the 33rd largest state and you'll also find lots of wooded areas. It's no surprise since the name Pennsylvania literally means Penn's Woods. Venture into the hemlock forests of northern PA and you might find more than just trees. You may just so happen across a squonk. Squonks are creatures with ill-fitting skin covered with warts and other blemishes. Unlike SpongeBob, it is ugly but not proud. Squonks are ashamed of their appearance and hide from plain sight. They also spend much of their time weeping. I can relate. The earliest known written account of squonks comes from a book by William T. Cox called Fearsome Creatures of the Lumber Woods with a Few Desert and Mountain Beasts, 1910. Cox's account is reprinted in Jorge Luis Borges' Book of Imaginary Beings from 1969. I've talked about this book before. I have this book. It's a great book. Now I kind of want to read Cox's book. Now, I'm going to describe squonks as Cox reported in his book, which he gives the scientific name of Lacrimocorpus dissolvens. Thank you, penlive.com, for this information. Probably the most homeliest animal in the world and knows it. The distribution was once fairly wide, the usual habitat being high plains where desert vegetation was abundant. History shows beyond dispute that as these areas gradually changed to swampy, lake-dotted country, the squonk was forced to take the water. Of distinctly low mentality, it traveled constantly across the unaccustomed marshes in search of fodder. With time, it developed webbing between its toes, but only on the submerged left feet. Hence, on entering the water, it could swim only in circles and never get back to shore. Fossil bones dredged from these lake bottoms reveal that thousands perished of starvation in this manner. Today, the squonk is met with solely in the hemlock forests of Pennsylvania. It is a most retiring, bashful, crepuscular animal, garbed in a loose, warty, singularly ill-fitting skin. The squonk is always unhappy, even morbid. He is given to constant weeping over his really upsetting appearance and can sometimes be tracked by his tear-stained trail. Moonlight nights are best for squonk hunts, for then the animal prefers to lie quiet in its hemlock home, fearing should it venture forth that it may catch a glimpse of itself in some moonlit pool. Sometimes you can hear one weeping softly to himself. The sound is a low note of pleading, somewhat resembling the call of a cross-feathered snee. Henry Tryon embellished the cock's description in his 1939 book called Fearsome Creatures. The range of the squonk is very limited. Few people outside of Pennsylvania have ever heard of the quaint beast, which is said to be fairly common in the hemlock forests of that state. The squonk is of a very retiring disposition, generally traveling about at twilight and dusk. Because of its misfitting skin, which is covered with warts and mold, it is always unhappy. In fact, it is said by people who are best able to judge to be the most morbid of beasts. Hunters who are good at tracking are able to follow a squonk by its tear-stained trail, for the animal weeps constantly. When cornered and escape seems impossible, or when surprised and frightened, it may even dissolve itself in tears. Squonk hunters are most successful on frosty moonlit nights when tears are shed slowly and the animal dislikes moving about. It may then be heard weeping under the boughs of dark hemlock trees. Mr. J.P. Wentling, formerly of Pennsylvania, but now at St. Anthony Park, Minnesota, had a disappointing experience with the squonk near Mont Alto. He made a cleaver capable of mimicking the squonk and inducing it to hop into a sack in which he was carrying it home, when suddenly the burden lightened and weeping ceased. Wentling unslung the sack and looked in. There was nothing but tears and bubbles. If you're not a Pennsylvania history buff, you might not know that logging was a large industry in the Keystone State, later followed by coal mining. This time was likely the height of Pennsylvania importance in the potential timber industry. Deforestation and overharvesting were very real threats to the ecosystem and to the state and realistically country and planet as a whole. But that was likely not much of a concern to most of the area, especially the people who would profit from such deforestation. You know, the people who own the lumber yards. So it's proposed that Cox kind of invented this creature as a way to highlight, you know, deforestation and maybe make people think about, like, hey, I'm actively helping to destroy the squonk's home, these poor, pathetic, homely-looking creatures that dissolve in their own tears. While squonks may not really be known outside of Pennsylvania, even though I live in Pennsylvania and had never heard of them, I doubt Megan has heard of them either, they are known outside of this state. And in fact, they're actually known in chemistry and biology. You see, some substances are stable in solution or some other wild form, but cannot be isolated or captured without actually catalyzing their own polymerization or decomposition, aka dissolving in their own tears. Wikipedia gives this example. A molecule containing a carboxylic acid moiety, and an acid labile moiety. Can you tell I was an English major? Might be stable when initially prepared as the salt, but unstable as the free acid. And that's the only chemistry we're going to get into on this podcast. But kind of what started as a funny kind of way to raise awareness maybe of deforestation is now found in science because, you know, the bringing about of its own destruction. It's a much less poetic phoenix because I don't think the squonk has any sort of rebirth. Thank you for tuning in. I hope you enjoyed this creature feature. Just wanted to give a heads up. Megan and I are changing things around a little bit. And instead of having a new episode come out every week, we are going to try sticking to bi-weekly, which means we will have one full-length episode and one creature feature come out per month. There's a few reasons for this. Timing is just hard sometimes, so we're just gonna see how it works out. You know, maybe one day we can go back to doing the episodes more frequently, but I just want to use this as a moment to say mental health is important. Your physical well-being is important. And, you as the individual, as the human, should probably come first before your hobbies. So with that, I want to say adieu And stay tuned for our next episode, which will not be coming out next week, probably the following week. So stay tuned. We're really hoping as well that by doing fewer episodes in a given time, we'll have more time to really research and dig deeper and cover some more in-depth cases that I've been wanting to get into for a while. So stay tuned for that. Good things are happening. This is a good, good thing. And as always, love you. Thanks again for listening. Go find yourself a squonk.